How do you overcome career struggles and lead with confidence? This is exactly what many engineers want to figure out, but few ever talk about. Today, we're going to be joined by civil engineer and career mentor, Nikolai Oleden, who's been there from early career uncertainty to leading high-performance teams. He shares the lessons that helped him grow and how you can apply them to your own journey. We're going to be diving into leadership, communication, and career growth strategies to help you move past the challenges and step into the leader that you're meant to be. Hi, I'm Dr. James Bryant, and you're listening to the Engineer Your Success podcast.
Success isn't just about what you achieve. It's about living a life that reflects your values and priorities. Welcome to Engineer Your Success, the podcast that helps you lead with intention and live fulfilled.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I am pumped to be able to chat with you and hopefully be able to share part of my story. I'm Nikolai Oleden. I am located in Arizona here in Phoenix. And I have had, so I'm a civil engineer, mostly in the transportation department. And I've had a pretty interesting career. I like to think of it, but I actually always think that we all have pretty interesting careers. One of my favorite things to do when I talk to people is, how did you even get here? And is where you are today where you kind of thought you would be early on? And rarely is the answer yes. And so I enjoy sharing my story, because if there's a early career listener out there that's 0 to 5, 8 years experience and they don't really know where they want to be, you're normal. You're okay, right? It's just, you're going to make some pivots here and there. So I grew up here in Phoenix and went to Arizona State University. I graduated in 2008. So I was pretty lucky just to have a job. I was also very lucky. I had 4 years of internships. And so I was able to meet some people in the industry while I was in college. But when I graduated, it was right after the market had kind of collapsed a little bit or was in that decline. And so one of the people that I met during my internship said, hey, we need an entry-level highway engineer. So let's give you a shot. And he hired me out of school. And I'm so grateful for that opportunity when others didn't have that. So I started with a small firm and grew there for a few years. Then my boss who had hired me moved to another company. And about a year later, I got the call to go join him again. And of course, I was going to do that because he was awesome and just a great mentor. A few years after that, I ended up going to work for my dad, and my dad owns a structural firm. So now I'm in highways and he does bridges. And so we don't overlap too much as far as I can't design a bridge, but I thought I'd go there, see what we can do, see how we can grow together. And we spent about 7 years together growing that company to about 14 people, which was pretty exciting. And then I joined Jacobs, which is one of the largest civil engineering firms in the world. And my team that I lead now is bigger than any of the companies that I worked for before. So it's quite the difference in how I've progressed from small companies to large companies. But I've been at Jacobs now 2 years and loving it. So it's been good.
That is great. And you give us a lot to dig into today.
Yeah.
There are a lot of different transitions that we can talk about. So let's go back to the early career. You had mentioned early on, if there's someone that's early in their career and they're thinking, I don't know what's going on, you want them to know that's normal. So let's talk about your early career a little bit.
Yeah. So I think for me, when I was in school, I wanted to actually be a structural engineer. I wanted to design bridges. Mm-hmm. And through my internships, it was okay, but I just didn't click. Like it wasn't the thing for me. Mm-hmm. I started looking at roadway. And when I started my career, I still didn't really know what that meant. What am I going to design? Am I going to be designing the Autobahn every single project? Am I going to be designing these giant freeways every single project? And that could not be further from the truth. You're designing parking lots and 10-foot wide pathways and a city street if you're lucky. And maybe if you're really lucky, you get a highway project. And so it's such a variety. So for me, that was a big realization of, all right, we have such a variety of projects. Mm-hmm. I always thought I would be working on magazine cover worthy projects when I was in school. And then I designed a pathway or an irrigation ditch or something like that. And at first I was maybe a little bummed that it wasn't magazine worthy, right? And through my career, I realized they all have their own unique problems. They all have their own unique challenges. They all have different people that you work with. Boy, I mean, some of the clients make a big difference on what your experience is on the project. And some of the clients are a lot of fun to work with. You build relationships with them. And sometimes I found these parking lot projects were some of my most fun projects because of just the team that I was able to work with. And so pivoting away from kind of thinking I needed to be designing these massive highways and these things that were huge, glamorous projects to just, I could design anything and really find joy and fulfillment out of it. And something that I learned early was, for me, it was about who I was serving. And yes, during the project, I was serving the client, but at the end of the day, that project was going to be serving the public. And knowing, like a parking lot, I'll say, 10,000 people or bikers, mountain bikers, are going to be accessing this parking lot at this trailhead that are going to go onto the trail in the mountains. There was something really cool about that. ADA, and there's people with disabilities that don't really have easy access up to this part of a hill. Being able to design with them in mind and how are we going to get them up to the space, it just felt different. So those sorts of little pivots, I think, were big things for me to realize I can really design anything and find some joy in nearly everything.
Okay, so you initially struggled with the, I guess, finding meaning or significance behind doing some of the non-magazine cover worthy work in a sense. And for those of you that are listening or watching on YouTube, I would say even magazine worthy pictures of roadways, they're ditches that have to be cleaned and designed to make sure that the water drains. Because if the water doesn't drain properly, that roadway is not going to exist. It's going to wash out. It's not going to be there. So all of these pieces play a major role in providing, producing, and maintaining that piece of infrastructure.
Yeah. I was a pretty big introvert in college. I had maybe one friend. When we studied together, I probably wouldn't have passed my classes without her. She helped me stay on track, but I was kind of a loner. I didn't talk to people. I was not social. And so early in my career, I realized, wow, we really do talk to people all the time. This is not you sit at your own desk with your head down, crunching numbers all day. It is way more team oriented and a team effort than people realize. And I have to be talking to that drainage person and that structures person and the environmental folks and making sure that we're hitting deadlines and stuff like that. And so for me, that was another early career lesson to learn is I need to start building my people skills. And
was there a particular incident or challenge that happened in your career that made you say, I have to improve on this?
I don't know if it was a challenge. One of my first projects was a project assessment where we were evaluating different alternatives. You have to talk to all the different disciplines. I was early in my career, so I wasn't leading it by any means, but just being able to observe those leaders that I was looking up to and those folks that I was thinking, okay, if I want to be them someday, these are those skills that I need to learn. So I don't necessarily have I struggled with something or got challenged with something, but I just was able to see those people that I wanted to be, right? Or I wanted to go into their shoes and what skills was I lacking that I really need to start growing in.
You know how to solve tough technical problems, but leading people, that's a different challenge. Stepping into leadership means more than just knowing your stuff. It's about inspiring, communicating, and navigating challenges with confidence. At Engineer Your Success, we help technical pros like you grow into leaders who just don't manage the work, but lead the people who do. If you're ready to lead with clarity and impact, visit engineeryoursuccessnow.com today, because thriving isn't just for others, it's for you. Was there anything that helped you continue to not break out of being an introvert, because you're probably still an introvert at heart, but to learn and adapt those tendencies? Or was it just, here's an observation of a person that I want to emulate. Let me start practicing and doing those things so that I can hone that skill so that I can emulate that person.
Yeah, well, I still am an introvert. Even last night, I went to this big networking event. There are about 100 people there. And if there was a camera on the outside door of people walking in, they would see me take a deep breath in and walk in ready to be like, all right, Nikolai, let's get through this. Let's push through. And so I'm still that way. It takes a lot of energy out of me. But seeing those people even one of my early mentors, I think he's an introvert too, but he just learned how to communicate with other people and he learned how to facilitate conversations. And doesn't mean that he was dominating the conversations or dominating the meetings. He was really good at asking questions and just getting the other people to participate in the conversation. And as a leader, watching him as a leader, I was picking up on cues of being a leader does not mean I'm just bossing people around and throwing my weight around. I'm getting the team together. And so just having that really good role model, I think I was really lucky. And I know a lot of us have good role models, but, you know, pay attention to them and really evaluate what are they doing? How are they doing it? What are the things that other people smile about or get excited about when that leader is doing XYZ? Because you take notes on those are qualities that I need to learn. And so I just tried to put myself in situations where I was thrown into a leadership role and had to learn how to emulate that.
And so there are going to be people that are listening to this episode and they're going to say, Nicola, I don't have that kind of a mentor or role model in my firm or the people that my immediate supervisor or people that I'm exposed to. I don't think I have that. So could you distill, let's say, maybe 5 suggestions or pieces of advice that you would have for someone in their early career as they're continuing to develop and evolve?
Yeah. If you don't see it in your firm, you're going to have to be looking elsewhere, not as far as leaving a job, but looking for mentors elsewhere. When it comes to leadership, you don't have to be finding a leader who's, if you're a drainage engineer, finding another drainage engineering leader. You can find leadership qualities in daily life, families, church, other events, coaching your kids, stuff like that. You can really pick up on stuff. Networking and joining societies is a huge one. Honestly, for me, that was probably the biggest contributor to where I practiced my skills and refined my skills was getting involved with ASCE, American Society of Civil Engineering. I was just a member at first, joining the meetings, just trying to figure out, okay, I'm not going to die by joining this meeting and being in front of people. And slowly worked my way up into a volunteer position. I led the fundraising golf tournament event and eventually went through the ranks of the board and became president. It was little bite-sized chunks. And then you look back 10 years later and you're like, holy crud, how did I get there? You know, it's really hard when you're evaluating on a daily or a weekly or even a monthly basis. But when you look back a year or 10 years, it is insane how much growth potential you have.
But I think, you know, get involved in American Society of Civil Engineers or some other kind of organization where you're going to have networking opportunities. Leverage your network to find mentors or at least be able to observe some of these leadership qualities. You can find leadership qualities any and everywhere if you're looking for them. So if you're looking for that kind of quality, or maybe you don't know what that quality is, but you're looking for someone from a leadership perspective, when they speak, people are listening. And when other people speak, the leader's listening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit of both, you know, by observation, when someone says something, there's weight to kind of what they're saying. They're not bossing people around. They're saying, and people are taking that in and they're putting that into action. But when others are speaking, that leader is really in tune, really present, and really listening.
Yeah. I think we all have heard listen to like seek out what they're actually saying versus listening to respond.
Yes.
And leaders, they really are listening to understand. I think that's the listening to understand rather than just waiting for somebody to stop talking and then interject what they want to say.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's good. You mentioned you started off in the highway area. You're with a small firm, slightly bigger firm, and then you went to go work with your dad. And
yeah,
to help him grow that. So how many people were working there with your dad when you started? You said it's 14 when you left. What was that transition like for you?
Well, it was his first hire. So employee number one here, or two, I guess, if you want to call him number one. We were talking, he talked to me for about 2 years prior to me actually joining. And I kept saying no. And then eventually there was a project that lined up that he could guarantee me work for a year and a half. And I thought, all right, that sounds less risky than jumping in without anything. And we were talking to another guy at the same time. So I joined, and about a month or two later, our third employee joined. And so the three of us kind of just grew and had a couple interns over the summer just to help us get that project done. And eventually hired some other PEs and then EITs. And it was a wild ride, man. I mean, a small firm. He had been around for about 7 years before I started, I believe. So he was established, but it's different when you're just feeding yourself versus you're feeding another employee or employees and then their families, right? Like there's a lot of responsibility there.
Yeah, I can only imagine that one of the areas where you begin to hone your skills even greater was in business development and marketing and being able to communicate to potential clients and to talk about what you guys could do.
Back to networking, I didn't really know how to do it. I had never really been put in a role where I had to do that in the previous 9 years of my career before that point. And so I leaned on some of the people that I had built in my network, and I just straight up asked them, how do I do this? What do you do? What are some of the tips and tricks? I invited a couple people to lunch and just said, do you have any tips on how to help me grow? And the amazing thing there is they were at competitors and they were always so willing to help me. And I think it's because you build that relationship in the networking. And if you're friendly, people want to help you. And that was a really pretty cool experience to see the help that others would give. There's even another small business, the firm I had left. I called one of the owners of that company when I left and just said, hey, would you be willing to be my mentor? And I could just ask you some small business questions on how did you handle this when you were first starting out your business? And I mean, I had just left his firm and he said, yeah, let's do it. Let's go grab breakfast. And we did that a couple of times. He mentored me through that early few months to a year of how do we do this? You know, man, it was just awesome to see that network and that community rally around us.
Okay. And what were some strategies you employed to help support your growth and development during that time?
Yeah, I think we're always growing first off. And if once you stop growing, that's where there's a problem. So I fully believe that. Reading a lot of books. I read a lot of books on business, personal development. It's actually really interesting, but like love languages and relationship books, they can apply to work, right? I mean, obviously in a certain manner, but I've taken a lot of positive feedback from some of these books that have no, you know, relationship to business.
And I would say they do have a relationship to business. Okay. Because business is about relationships.
That's true.
You know, regardless if you are doing business development, if you're prospecting, if you are managing, leading a team, relationships play an integral role in how you execute that work and how you get things done and how you feel during the process of getting that done.
Well, that's a good point. He also put me into two different programs. There was one program here locally called LEAP, and it's run through ACEC, which really represents businesses. And it's all about preparing you to be an engineering leader, engineering manager. So I went through that as a few months long, really great program, helped me learn contracts and all that stuff. And again, build the network. And then we put me in another program with other business leaders. And it wasn't civil engineering leaders, but one person owned a physical therapy business. One person was an author. One person did accounting business. And it was kind of like a group coaching situation. And one of the business leaders, business coaches, sat down with all of us. It was kind of like a mastermind. And we would get together once a month and walk through a different topic. It really helped me grow a lot and be able to ask some of the hard questions in a very safe environment. But that business coach was phenomenal. And he would walk us through a bunch of different things. We even learned about hiring. We learned about how to fire people or let them go, you know, maybe a little nicer way of saying that, but just what to look out for on how to build a team and what are some of the key players that you want to get on a team. And again, it's not just technical, but it's what kind of personality type does that person have? What kind of skill sets or gaps is that person filling? My dad was a very technical person, very black and white person, right? But also very good at taking risks. And I am not necessarily the happiest to take big risks. So I was always the what if person, or should we think about this, or hey, let's pause for a second and think it through. And we butt heads, but at the same time, I think we complemented each other. And at the end of the day, it made us stronger together. And so how do we find other gaps, that skill sets that we don't have, and build on the team? And so we really learned about leadership. We learned about building teams and all of that. And I don't think I would have learned all of that, or at least learned it as quickly, if we did not use the business coach.
Okay. So you've you started with a small company. You continued to evolve and to grow. You were working with your dad. You grew that from one employee to 14.
Yeah.
And then you decided to go someplace else where your team is larger than any of the companies that you were with before. So how has that transition been for you?
Well, man, it has been a pretty wild ride. From day one, I had 20 plus employees reporting to me, and I had to learn the system of the company. I had to learn the employees. I had to build their trust. They have no idea who I was. Normally, this is a position that they try to hire from within, somebody who's been growing and exhibiting those leadership skills. And yeah, I mean, it was a lot all at once. I'm still kind of figuring out the processes of corporate world. That's a little different than the small business where I can just go down the hall and say, hey, can we buy that? Sure. Yeah, let's do it. There's pros and cons, and having access to different people, having access to different experts, having access to bigger teams. If I need help, like right now, I have a project due next Friday and my team is pretty tied up. So I reach out to a different state who has a few engineers on standby, and we were able to bring them in and help us for about a month. And we're going to get this thing delivered next Friday just fine. But when I was at the small firm, it was, Nikolai, you and whoever's willing to help you, just stay in the office until you're done. That we didn't have that option. So that was some of the big things. But again, when you get access to larger people, now I have different personalities on my team that I had never worked with before, and different work styles that I had not really encountered, because we got to be pretty selective hiring when we were at the small firm with my dad. But here I inherit a team and they're all awesome individuals, but I had to learn what makes them tick. And as a leader, I don't want to come in and just start making demands. I want to be able to meet them where they are and meet them what they need and talk to them how they want to be talked to. Took time to learn, but they welcomed me so well. I'm so grateful for how welcoming my team was and accepting me. And I mean, I feel like we work pretty well together now.
That's great. You're exhibiting something all throughout this conversation is don't be afraid to ask for help, to say that you need some help or assistance. That's one thing that I can say that's been a common theme through that. The other is be present and listen, because you can listen and hear what people are saying. Listen for the intent of what they're saying. Don't listen to respond. Another common thread is you're listening so that you can really understand who that individual is, so that when you're leading that team, when you're managing that team, when you're talking to that individual, you know how to package the information in a way that they can actually do something with it.
Yeah. I hope I do that. I try to do that. And some days it's easier than others. Some days are pretty stressful, but again, they have patience with me. And when I'm not on my game, they lift me up. And it's just an amazing thing as a leader to experience that.
So a lot of what we talk about on the podcast and in my world is helping engineering leaders design and live a life where they can win at work and at home. You've talked a lot about work, right? A lot about your early career transition and the process. Tell us a little bit about home.
Boy. So I have 3 kids. I'm married. We celebrated 14 years just about a month and a half ago.
Congratulations.
And thank you. Yeah. I mean, it goes by fast, but then you're like, wow, how have we been together for 14 years? My kids are still pretty young, trying to set boundaries at work where I can maybe to get off early enough where I can go to their gymnastics class or be their soccer coach or something like that. That's a really important thing. And being able to set those boundaries is really important. I think that's a whole nother episode as well. But I think if I were to summarize one thing here, as far as what you were mentioning, the podcast or what you do of trying to set people up for both work and career is, I don't think I would have done a good job at any of these things if I didn't really know what I wanted. I'll tell everybody, I did not know anything that I wanted early on. My first year, 0 to 5 years out of school, I really had no idea. And it was a discovery phase for me to do that. But I'm lucky that I had a mentor and a coach speak into my life and say, hey, learn how to set goals and learn what your values are. Write these things down. What makes you tick? You know, what are your strengths? I mean, I know we all probably discover them eventually, but when you discover them on purpose and you're trying to then continually refine those strengths on purpose, you go so much further, so much faster, right? Just like when we were working with the business coach, I wouldn't have gone that far that fast, right? And I was able to accelerate some things in a safe manner, because sometimes when you accelerate, it can be a little terrifying and maybe too fast, right? There are some things that really do need to marinate and they do take time. I do want to emphasize that. But for me, learning what was important to me, and I always thought, hey, I need to be taking vacations. I need to be traveling to Europe. I need to be doing these things. But at the end of the day, when I was like really honest with myself, I, Nikolai, actually don't really care so much about that. That's not high on my list. I don't know. Like if I don't travel somewhere, I'm fine. Whereas a friend of mine, if she doesn't travel this year, she will explode. Like it's just very different. Like that's not what drives me at all. And so then I was like, all right, now I don't have to focus so much on that. Why am I caring so much about traveling if it really does not care so much for me? And so, but again, I had to learn that.
No, I'm laughing because my wife and I were literally just having a similar conversation. So I'm looking at my text message, one of my good business partner and friend, he's like, there's a common person that we know. And he's like, so-and-so took off 200 days, didn't work 200 days last year. He's getting in at about 170 days. How many days do you plan to take off next year? Because it's this whole thought process of people that are working so hard and you're an entrepreneur and you're doing this and that. And I started to answer the question, and I started to say, I don't know about this year, but next year I'm going to have a goal for, and then I stopped and said, am I really going to set a goal for the number of days that I want off? I enjoy what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to my wife. I was like, now, if we start planning out things that we want to do, maybe we start planning activities and put those activities on the calendar. I have no problem designing everything around those activities. But I'm not going to arbitrarily set a goal for something that doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah. I coached quite a few young professionals over the last 7 or 8 years. And there's a common theme where they do what they feel their parents want them to do. And then they finally break off of that. And then they'd start doing what they feel like their friends are doing. But take the time to really learn yourself. And if it doesn't matter to you, then don't invest time and energy into it. My wife wants to do some travel, right? So we just went to Nashville and it was fun. It didn't rejuvenate me like it rejuvenated her, but it was fun. It was a blast. So I still do things because it's not just me in this world anymore. I have responsibilities and relationships, but just learning myself or money. Oh man, money. I could talk about that all day, but money, I had to get really honest with myself about my money situation. Mm-hmm. And work and life, yes, they're separate, but they do work together, right? Yeah, and if I'm struggling with money, I'm worried about money when I'm working. I may be saying yes to more overtime opportunities because I feel like I need extra money. Mm-hmm. And that comes at the cost of my health, but all these different things. And I'm not seeing how everything's interacting together. We had to dig out of a hole. We paid off a lot of debt and it's been so freeing ever since. But again, I had to be really honest with myself and discover, where am I? And then what do I want? And then we just made a plan from there.
Leadership comes with high expectations, too many responsibilities, too little time, and the constant pressure to keep up. If you're feeling stretched thin, you're not alone. At Engineer Your Success, we help leaders take back control so that they can lead with confidence, delegate effectively, and stop running on empty. You don't have to choose between success and sanity. Let's build a leadership plan that works for you. Visit engineeryoursuccessnow.com today, because thriving isn't just for others, it's for you. It reminds me of a combination of two things that I help people do. One is what I call mirror moments, where you see yourself for who you are, not who you project to be. Because a lot of times we're projecting a certain lifestyle, we're projecting a certain persona. But when you have those honest moments, like you're talking about, what do I really want? What situation am I really in? And you're being honest with yourself, that's when you can actually take control of a situation and do something with it. Because as long as you are deceiving yourself, you lack the ability to grab hold of that issue to actually do something about it. Because you'll keep making excuses, you'll keep kicking the can down the road. So that's one thing. And then, you know, kind of one of the things that we talk about a lot is that there is no one definition of success, right? There's no one definition of success. I think I mentioned this to you before is that, you know, I asked myself at a certain point in my career, three key questions. Do you want to win at work? Do you want to win at home? And it was through that process of asking and answering those questions that I had to answer honestly at that time and say, no, I was not winning at home. I was killing it at work, doing great at work, but I was not doing well at home. So I had to go through this process. What do I really want? What really matters most to me? Focus in on that, define my values, define my goals, then begin to, I went through a visualization process to visualize what would life look like if these were really priorities that I say that they should be. And then designing a plan to execute on that, designing a plan and then executing on that. And that's what I've packaged as the Engineer's Blueprint for Success. But it comes back to that initial thing of knowing what you want. Knowing who you are is very important. And the last thing I'll say is that we often talk about vision will help you kind of project where you want to be. This is where I want to go. But oftentimes we don't take the time to assess where we are. Mm-hmm. You need to know both where you want to go and where you are right now.
Yeah. I mean, everything you just said, like, that's awesome. I love it. And I mean, I've heard when people talk about what's the most important thing when you're planning a trip, you got to figure out where you are, because how do you know which direction to start your journey if you don't know where you are? And that just kind of stuck home with me for years. Yeah. If I'm feeling a little bit lost, I'll just do a quick assessment of health, relationships, career, money, and I'll normally figure it out. Oh, okay. Here's one little spoke that's not necessarily hitting right now. And that's causing everything else to kind of just struggle. And yeah, man, it's good stuff.
Because it's all interrelated. It's all interrelated. We don't separate these different domains in life. It's still all one life. And so if you think of work and life being different sides of the same coin, that coin is you. In the substance of everything else that you have going on still involves you. So you need the energy, you need the ability to think, you need the freedom, the flexibility to be at your best. And you don't just show up at your best for work. You have to show up at your best for life. And that includes home.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have, whether you have little ones or not, there are people that are watching you, observing you, and impacted, influenced by you. Mm-hmm. I had a really sweet moment the other day. My wife brought my brother and sister and parents around just to have a quick conversation, because clearly that day was not about me, right? It was about turkey, and that's it. But we just had a sweet moment, and my sister had just kind of mentioned something, and it just touched me so strongly, because I just was like, wow, I didn't even know you were paying attention to that. And I would have never guessed that she was watching me over these years do X, Y, Z. And then that influenced how she made other decisions in her life.
That's a beautiful story. And I want to thank you for taking the time to share. I really do.
No, I thank you.
Because you never know who's listening. You never know who's watching. And people are. They're watching you. They're listening. It's happening. You just don't know. Is there anything else that you would like to leave our listening audience with?
Maybe I would just like to speak to people who are not in their early career and kind of touch on this topic of influence. I had some really great mentors and people I looked up to, and I also had some pretty terrible work situations and pretty terrible bosses, you know, at some times in between different things. And just building up what I wanted to make sure that I wanted other people to have a good experience with me as a supervisor. And just knowing that people are watching you, people are taking notes. You might be their don't do this example, right? Or hopefully you are their, you know, follow this person and take notes from this person, right? Mm-hmm. I want to be that guy. And again, I fail all the time. And my team knows that I have some pretty good shortcomings, but they know I try, you know, and I'm always going to try to be that person that is a good example. And it's good to keep that in mind. If you are not an early career, people are looking up to you, and just keep that in mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any questions for me?
Is there one single person that you feel you noticed or exhibited things that you took notes on, but you can attribute a lot of your future moves or ways of leading because you saw this person as an example?
Yes, I can definitely track back to one manager that I had. It was Quentin Elliott. He was the state maintenance engineer for VDOT. I had the pleasure of working for him earlier in my career, like 3 years into my career. And what I observed from him was his ability to shield me from the things that I didn't need to worry about, even though I wanted to worry about them. And I wanted to be in those meetings and I wanted to do this and I wanted to do that. He's like, no, I need you to focus on these three things here. Don't worry about this other stuff. I'll take care of that. And he had the ability to create an environment where I could flourish. I try to do that for the people that I manage. How can I create an environment where you can flourish? Do I need to take things on, keep them on my desk? Do I need to fight the fight on the other side of the office so that you can have the freedom and flexibility to flourish? So for those folks that are listening to the podcast and they're like, hey, I'm into what Nikolai was saying. I would love to connect with you. What's the best way for people to connect with you?
Probably the best way. I'm not really on social media. So I have a side business called Engineering You. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the easiest way.
Since you mentioned it, can you just talk briefly about Engineering You?
Sure. Yeah. So I had such a crazy experience those first few years. I had some great mentors, had some pretty tough experiences. I didn't know how to be a professional. There were a lot of things I didn't know. I didn't know how to be an adult, really, is kind of how I put it. And so I had to learn about myself and learn how to set goals. So I took all of that stuff that I wish I would have known when I graduated from, and I packaged it up into Engineering You. And we have these groups where we talk about time management and personal finance. I actually became a personal financial coach. And so Dave Ramsey, I'm big into his stuff. So that's kind of what my model is based off of there. But, mm-hmm. you know, we talk about communication and goal setting and vision and a lot of the things that, like I said, I wish I would have known, but you most of us will learn that along the way. But some of us, it might take 5 years, 10 years, 20 years to figure it all out. Why not try to package it up into a 6-month program and start that journey now, right? So that's what Engineering You is all about.
Okay. All right, great. Again, we'll have a link to your contact information in the show notes, folks. Definitely reach out and see when that next enrollment is going to be, see when that next group's going to start, or to be able to get your hands on those valuable resources.
Thank you.
Nikolai, I'm going to end this podcast like I end every podcast episode, and that's this. Many people know what to do. Fewer people know how to do it. And there is a select group of people that follow through, do it, and they're able to live the life of their dreams. And I want to thank you for being part of that select few.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This was such a fun conversation, and I appreciate the invite.